Again, good to see you again. As Baron said, your name is Baron? Yes, I was just some Bergman. So it's hard to remember all the names, although our time goes all the way to, yes, 20 years since we stepped into Nigeria. The Hamilton CRC is not a strange church to us. So as we drove down today with my daughter, Mary, so, you know, she kind of, sometimes like, okay, where are we going? Because, you know, we go to different churches to visit. So yeah, Hamilton CRC, yeah, don't worry. This is not a new church. This is a church that you recognize and even some people. So good to be back. And I see your church is another transition again without pastor. Transition is hard, but that's the way it is. Our life is full of transitions, whether individually, family, and church. So my prayer is that the Lord will also be with you through this transition, or He will fulfill His plan and will at the end of this transition. We as a family too, sort of transition, because this is our first time during our 10 years in Cambodia that we are taking sabbatical. Although my wife said, by the way, she's not here with us because she's traveling to Myanmar and Cambodia for her regional work. But she said, don't call it sabbatical because we're not resting. We are working out of North America for a while. So for our children are in transition. So our three children are 20 years old, 19, and 17. And those of you who have children, you know what that means. Like they're in that entering the adulthood. So we are here to support them as they go through this readjustment back to U.S. after 10 years. So I'm bringing greetings also from brothers and sisters in Cambodia and also Resonate Global Missions that I represent, and also, yeah, of course, my family together. So let's pray. Again, Lord Jesus, we are grateful for this opportunity week after week that we can gather freely and worship You and commune with You and have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And also, Lord, today we are reminded that we are not alone. We are part of the worldwide body of Christ that celebrate and worship You. Pray that, Lord, Hamilton CRC and the families and the members will continue to, Lord, be faithful to Your faithfulness and Your calling at this corner here, so that, Lord, Your name will be honored and Your name will be exalted. Today, Lord, we want to hear Your word and be encouraged and to inspire. Use this time to, Lord, speak to us. In Jesus' Your name we pray. Amen. The scripture this morning is two places, Luke chapter 15, verse 1 through 10, and Acts 11, 19 through 26. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, 1 through 10. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and lose one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Then I'll read Acts chapter 11, verse 19 to 26, Acts chapter 11. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So as I mentioned, we as a family are here until next June for extended home service. And when you planned to stay a country or place for only a year, there are a few things you don't usually do. One of them is to adopt a dog. And guess what? We adopted a dog because our children, they wanted to have a dog so badly. We used to have a dog in Cambodia, but we gave away. To them, it's too prematurely. So they're always kind of held grudge against us. So then here is a chance. Let's adopt a dog. My wife and I said, like, no, we're just here for a while, and it's, you know, we know what it's like to take care of the dog. But they prepared a presentation, 10 reasons why South family need a dog. So we couldn't say no. So we went the extra mile, literally and figuratively, 150 miles away, and then found a dog and then brought home, Yakko. I didn't know how hard it is here in the U.S. to adopt a dog. Application, reference check, and hefty fee, and bringing and then train, still training, a lot of work. Why do we do that? Why do we go that fuss and then extra work? Because my wife and I care for our children, and we want to value and prioritize their wants and needs, although it involves all these extra efforts. That made me think about, yeah, value and priorities in life. In fact, our plans and our budgets, our schedule and our activities all reflect our values and our priority, don't we? So what is our value and priority in life? More importantly, what do we want to value and prioritize according to what God values and He prioritizes? So according to this parable, dual parables of Jesus about the lost sheep and the lost coin, God's value and His priorities involves making special efforts for the lost. To the shepherd, the one lost sheep was so important. And to the woman, the one coin was so important. It was obvious to the original audience of Jesus, because Jesus was using this rhetorical question. Imagine you have this 100 and you lost one. You wouldn't say, well, that's not that important. I have 99. No. You make all the effort to look for the lost sheep. In the same way, if you have 10 coins, you lost one, you'd not say, nah, that's not important. To parents, we value every children. How many we have? But somehow, the one who struggles, or someone who's needy, somehow we make extra effort. Does not mean that we don't care or we don't value the rest. That's not the point. We value every one of them. But somehow at the point when they need most the help, love, and care, we value and we prioritize. The question is, do we really value and prioritize God's heart and His mission for the lost so that we would actually do something about it, put into action and go the extra mile? The story of Antioch Church and the Barnabas in Acts 11 is a wonderful example of people going the extra mile for God's heart and His mission. There was a persecution. So God's people in Jerusalem were scattered. This is the early church, first church. So wherever they went, they shared the gospel, but only with the Jews. Because the Jews, by culture, they would not talk or associate with the Gentiles. So it is very natural for them to just share with the Jews about Jesus Christ. But we are told, but some, however, in the Antioch, they went the extra mile beyond what was expected and shared the gospel with the Greeks, the Gentiles also. So as a result, a great number of people came to Christ. So that news that some Jewish Christians share the gospel with the non-Jews and there was a group of people came to Christ in Antioch, which is 400 miles away from Jerusalem, reached the church in Jerusalem. So obviously they had a meeting or council. What do? We should find out what is really going on. So they sent out Barnabas. So Barnabas was the right person for the task because he was a Hellenist Jew. He grew up in that region. Although he's a Jew, but he also knew and he was familiar with the culture and the area. And most of all, he was a person full of the Spirit and faith. So he's the right person for the job. So he went 400 miles trip to Antioch to find out what's going on. So what he found in Antioch was a church already full of life and growth. So he was so happy to see that. So, and then he encouraged people. And you can imagine these people in Antioch were also so encouraged and happy to see Barnabas because, wow, our brothers and sisters, now, although we are different, they sent Barnabas to us. So we're told even more people came to Christ and church was encouraged and there was excitement. That's what we're told, verse 24 in chapter 11. But then verse 25 is quite remarkable because it says, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. We know him as Paul. Why is it remarkable? Because from the human point of view, he did not have to do that. It was not expected. It's not like Antioch, there's nothing to do. You could imagine this was growing church. A lot of work needed to be done. And Barnabas was there as the spiritual leader and mentor sent by the home church. I'm sure some people were like, why you go Tarsus? Like, we are busy and we need you. Well, we know why he went. He went to look for Paul. And that he went and he found him and he brought to Antioch. And Paul had been in Tarsus at least 5 to 10 years as a part of these silent desert years. So about 14 years back, Paul met, at that time Saul met Jesus on the way to Damascus. He was going there to persecute the church. But Christ met him quite dramatically. And then there was a calling. Jesus said, he's the one. He's a chosen vessel to share the gospel to the Gentiles. But that was 14 years ago. And then now he's been in Tarsus, his hometown, 5 to 10 years. We could imagine just being forgotten, being neglected. People just began to, you know, memory has been, is fading out about him. Oh yeah, there was the guy who was persecuting the church, but he came to Christ. Where is he now these days? I don't know. But then Barnabas remembered him, tracked him down, and found him. The word that described that the Barnabas looking for Saul is not just when they're just casual looking. It is a desperate search until he found. Just like that shepherd looking for that one lost sheep. The woman, they're looking for that one coin. I believe Barnabas, full of the Spirit, was led by the Spirit to go look for Saul. That Jesus was talking about, that God values the one lost sheep and one lost coin. We don't know how much Barnabas knew that God will use Paul mightily after that. After he came to the Antioch, after a year, he went on to first, second, and third missionary journeys. That's the beginning of the foreign mission, Gentile mission. From then on, the gospel spread to Europe. Not to mention, God used Paul to record half of the New Testament. In a way, God used Barnabas to find the lost friend, lost colleague, and brought it in, opened the door, so that he can be God's instrument that it was called. We could imagine Barnabas went the extra mile to Tarsus, another 200 miles from Antioch. We don't know why he didn't send for Paul. We don't know. But he went himself and he brought it. And imagine he called the whole church, Antioch, and said, "Rejoice with me, I have found a lost friend and colleague." Big part of my work in Cambodia is to empower and equip young Christian leaders who are facing tremendous challenges. This Cambodia is a young and small country that has been busy rebuilding their lives since that terrible killing field genocide in 80s and 90s. Because that whole generation was wiped out, there's a vacuum of leadership. The young leaders in their 30s have to step up without much training or experience. But there is a tremendous sense of calling and the wonderful gifts. But they need some support and help. And Johnny is one of them. So Johnny, he was once an associate pastor of large church in Cambodia. But it's a relative. Large church doesn't mean thousands, thousands, hundreds. That's a large church. Average in Cambodia is about 30 to 50. It's a small churches. And 2% of the whole population or less are Christian. But this is church, and this is this young leader who was gifted and bearing a lot of fruit. So he felt called to plant churches. So he became a church planter. He ventured out, but somehow it didn't work out. Either he was not prepared or things didn't go wrong, so it didn't go well. So I hadn't seen him for a while, but then I heard that he got involved some kind of business to support his young family. He had at that time 2 children. And I heard that somehow the business scheme was kind of scam. It's called a pyramid scheme. So I contacted him and I met with him. And then I heard what happened. So he shared with me all the story. So he, at that point, he was not in a good place. He lost ministry, he lost job, and his marriage was in turmoil. He was very, very low place. At that time, I was doing some field research. Then I just had this idea that maybe I'll just give you a temporary job. Why don't you interview other young leaders like you, at least 10. And I gave him a set of questions. And then you write up the report and give it back to me. It took a few weeks. And then he came back, so we met again. His face was different, just glowing and just like exciting. And he said, yo, now I feel God is restoring me. God is calling me. When I was interviewing these young leaders like me and hearing their stories, how they came to Christ, how they now serve God, God was telling me through them, that's your story too. What are you doing? Get up. I'm sending you back. So he felt as if God was reaching down when he was in the bottom of this dark pit, discouraged, sense of failure, shame. And then God reached down to him and then lifted him up. He said, now I'm back. I feel God in this story. So now Johnny is a committed husband with now additional kids, so 3 kids. And he had a job as a school administrator during the week. And then the weekend, he served the church. And he started a ministry called Gatekeepers to mentor and to empower other young leaders like him or younger. And he said, they need a lot of support. So when I was down, nobody was reaching out to me. So I want to reach out to them. I want to gather other young leaders. We need to support each other in order to really press on, because the pressures are too much, temptation and persecution. And through these young leaders, I believe that God's going to continue to do his work in this country. So it is my joy and privilege to walk alongside with someone like Johnny and many others so that they can do what God called them to do for their own country and their own society. In a similar way that the Barnabas did for Paul. However, I must tell you truth that in many other cases, I don't see that kind of fruit, the immediate result of my mission endeavors, whether for unbelievers or Cambodian leaders. Seeking God's heart and his mission for the lost and the least and the last takes hard work, but often thankless, tedious, no result. So we can be easily discouraged. Although he often takes humble sacrifice and downward mobility. So whenever I come to the States, one of the things that we often do is to go to see a doctor or a dentist to check, because the developing country like Cambodia, the medical the system is so poor that sometimes you wonder. So here I come. And I have to learn all over again that you need to call doctor, dentist weeks ahead, not just days ahead. So you need to make an appointment. And when you go, you have to fill the form. I don't know why I have to do it again and again. And I have to wait. So as I do those things, I just wonder, like, you know, the doctors and the dentists and the counselors, yeah, they all study hard, prepare, and they deserve it. But I study hard too. I just did 4 years university and 4 years seminary and then 3 years of the doctorate. But people don't have to call me weeks ahead to see me. They don't have to fill the forms to see me. They don't have to wait in line to see me. Often I have to pay to to support them, you know, coffee and meals and whatever. So sometimes, man, am I in a wrong occupation? But then God reminds me, no. When you say yes to the gospel ministry, to follow Christ, who didn't come to be served, but to come to serve and give his life as a ransom for many, this is what you're going to get. If you think that, you know, people will come to you and then pay all that or just wait, then you are not thinking well. However, I want to just ask, is this only for pastors and missionaries that we have that mentality or that attitude? If we really want to follow Christ, if we really want to embrace God's heart and His priority and His value for that lost one, a lost coin, we need to do the same. We need to be willing to go the extra mile that is not expected. We are called to embrace God's heart for the lost, the least, and the last. We are called to follow His mission for the forgotten, the neglected, and the hopeless. And I'm sure you agree with me, they are everywhere, near and far. And pursuing that call takes going the extra mile, although that may look different for each of us at different times. So who are the lost sheep? Who are the lost coin to you and to Hamilton Christian Reformed Church? It's always challenging. It's against the grain, against the comfort zone. It's often counterintuitive and countercultural. It takes courage to take the first steps for the extra mile. But God's heart and His mission for the lost and His love will compel us to take that first step. And this is only possible when we remember and when we believe that you and I once were lost. We are the lost sheep. We are the lost coin. And Jesus came down and He found us. And if we remember, if we believe, that will encourage us, that will inspire us to take that step for the extra mile. Whether to cross the street or to cross the ocean to visit the sick, shut-in, and those who struggle with their lives. God is still seeking the lost in our world today. This year we are celebrating the 100 years of our first missionary from Christian Reformed Church, Joanna Vinstra. So she felt that calling, she felt compelled to go to that far, far away land. By the way, I used to live and work where the Joanna Vinstra was going around. So I used to teach and live in Vinstra Theological Seminary of Christian Reformed Church. It's very inspiring. But that's 100 years ago. But in the spirit and legacy of Joanna Vinstra, God's mission through Christian Reformed Church and through His church, through His body, continue until He returns. And you and I are part of that, whatever form, the way it may look like, if we embrace their heart and mission. So let's follow God, seeking the lost. Although it's tedious, although it is challenging, we may share the joy of finding the lost, which in heaven, the angels will celebrate. So as we take the communion today, communion has a multiple meanings, but let's receive it as an encouragement and nourishment for the journey of going the extra mile and taking the steps of faith prompted by God's word and mission this week and on. We need God's grace and His strength for the journey. Let us pray. Shepherd of our soul, our life, we are eternally grateful for your love and grace that prompt you to come down from heaven to find us. You still do that, Lord, again and again in our life. When we feel lost, when we are, Lord, estranged, you reach out to us. You find us. And you restore us. Lord, with your heart and with your mission in ourselves, Lord, we want to do that around us, near and even far. We want to be your witness in our neighborhood, in our city, in our country, and to the ends of the earth. So, Lord, nourish us, strengthen us, and guide us. In Jesus' name.